Devices Radio Network.
Blood, Sweat, and Gears for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try this at home.
I think there should be a whole new league where you can have all the steroids you want. Who cares if you grow another foot? You got 3 fucking feet? Run, motherfucker!
Come on, y'all, let's take a ride. Don't you say shit, just get inside. It's time to take your ass on another kind of trip, cause you can't have the hop if you don't have the hip. Grab your cat with the extra clip and close your eyes and hit the switch.
Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Scott McNally, and of course, with me as always. Well, not always, but most of the time, S2H. What's up, Scott?
I'm flexing.
And Skip Hill. What's up, Skip?
I can see. I got my new glasses 5 minutes ago. Well, 30 minutes ago, but 5 minutes ago in reference to starting the show.
Nice. Scott, you always like to tell us about the weather. What's it like down there in Texas today? Because it's raining here in Michigan, and it's 57 degrees as we speak.
So basically a regular day in Michigan.
Yes.
He asked me. Quiet now. Currently, at this time of the year, we are experiencing what could be called the it's just was nice, and now it's starting to get a little more humid. So you're looking at probably mid-80s, 80% humidity, but it's pretty sunny. We're gonna start entering the warm zone soon. Like, we're, you know, air conditioners are necessary all the time, and that kind of stuff. So it's the end of that. People that move here and haven't been here during the summer, we're ending that. Oh, it's so lovely to be here.
Yeah,
because they're like somewhere it's cold, to where like in 2 months they'd be like, oh fuck, this is miserable, you know.
Yeah. Hey, when it gets really hot down there, I see, like, guys, I haven't ridden motorcycles. Skip, could you ride a bike when it's like full throttle Texas, or is it going to be too much? Because I feel like you got the wind going across you.
Yeah, you can ride physically if you're okay with the heat, but the bike itself, if you're going to sit in any kind of traffic, like down here, there's no way we can ride in August, like July, August, September, because if you sit in any kind of heat for too long, your bike can't handle it.
I didn't even think of that. When I sit in my car, I just turn the AC up a little bit more and I relax a little more. You know, I got the tinted windows, and I'm going to keep it that way. I think I'm going to keep it that way. That nice, like, little bubble away from the world, totally climate control. But hey,
you sit in traffic here when it's hot in the middle of summer.
Listen, he's asking me now. Okay, know your place. Okay, he asked about your weather. I shut the fuck up.
Now guys.
Hey, is your PMS cramps gone yet?
Yeah, no, they're not gone. We can get to that in a minute. He's asking about the weather.
I'm asking about the weather because I want to know. You went to a game yesterday. How was the weather there?
The dome was closed. It was freaking awesome.
Closed? You mean they close it down when it gets
retractable dome? They got a retractable dome. And that's part of the appeal. Well, I'm a baseball fan anyway, but it's part of the appeal when I moved out here, because I thought, man, it's going to be so hot sitting in, you know, at the baseball games. And I'm like, wait a minute, I wonder if they have a retractable dome. And they do.
Fuck yeah.
So it'll not only be awesome baseball, but it'll be a reprieve from this retarded heat in, you know, July, August, September. I would say October, but they're not going to make any kind of a run for the playoffs. It's quite laughable. But anyway.
This is the Marlins, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, they'll be lucky to play to finish 500. But I was in Colorado for 20 years, and I'm pretty used to 500 ball. So it's not much different. It'll be the Rockies actually will probably be doing better by the end of the season than the Marlins. But anyway, it's just baseball to me. I don't have a specific team, or I can watch baseball. It doesn't really matter. But the heat down here, it's quite comfortable. Yeah, everybody's saying wait, just like Scott was saying, wait for the humidity, wait for the heat. But you know, it's the same shit. It's just, instead of it being freezing cold and a wind chill of -5, it's going to be, you know, in the high 90s, and it's going to be humid. I was raised in Michigan. I know what humidity is. So,
oh, dude, we get bad humidity.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're a little bit better here on the East Coast. We went to a boat show in Sarasota a few weeks ago, and I got to tell you, it is night and day with humidity on the East Coast versus the West Coast of Florida. It was just pouring off of me. Huh. Here we get the breeze coming in from the east, coming off the ocean. I think it might be, you know, either the water or something helps to keep the humidity down just a little bit, because I'm only about a mile and a half from the ocean. So we'll see. I'm sure it's not going to be awesome.
Skip's kind of got a story. I saw this in a post that he made on Facebook, and man, this is a brutal one. But Skip, tell us what happened at the game. You worded it great, by the way. I read the story, and like I pictured your face. I pictured the faces of everybody through it. Like, it was very, you did a very good job. Definitely a writer.
Nice. I appreciate that. The Pulitzer, I'm sure, I'm up there somewhere for 2018. But at first I preface the story with the fact that I am an eternal cynic. I said that in the post. So when I'm approached for things like, oh, you've won something, or, you know, hey, it's an eye roll to me. I'm like, whatever. I'm sure I got to pay some because I don't win anything.
Right. I get a call and I get like a trip. You won a cruise to Florida. Press 3. Yeah. And like hang up immediately.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sitting at the game. It's about the third inning, and we're just chilling, taking in the game. The dome was closed. It was real nice. Matter of fact, I'd never been to a game in a dome before. So, you know, you can kind of feel the air. It was just really nice, right? Hanging out with buddy Joshua Wortman, who came down from Palm Beach because his fiance was out of town and stuff. So he's a Braves fan. They're playing the Braves. I had an extra ticket because my kids fucking bail on me all the time when I buy tickets at the last minute. So that pissed me off. But anyway, he wanted to go. So we're having fun. Melissa's, you know, drunk in the third inning. So it's a typical game, basically, at the park. And this lady comes out. I didn't even really notice her. But I heard my wife say, here, let me move so you can talk to him. So she sits down next to me. She says, you're Kenneth Hill? I said, yeah.
So she didn't call you Skip?
No, she didn't call me Skip, but the fact that she said my name, you know, kind of set up a red flag, because I was, you know, I'm like, how would you know who I am? I'm sitting at the ballpark.
Right.
So I immediately looked, you know, to see if she was wearing a badge or something. She had a Marlins badge on.
Or if she had backup behind her or anything, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Guys in uniform.
She was holding
DEA jacket on.
Right, right.
Exactly. Three letters on their shirt. But anyway.
That's the man.
And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, I'm going down at a fucking baseball game. This is going to be on the Jumbotron, guns in the back of my head. We know you use gear. we were gonna get you at home, but we'd rather do it on the Jumbotron.
Right.
So anyway, you know, I see the folder. She's holding a folder, and it has something on it that says something like Saturday stats, or I don't know, some shit, right? So I'm trying to feel her out, and like, what's going on? And she explains that at 25 home games during the season, they do a promotion with Chevy, where they give away a Chevy Cruze or a Chevy, what's the other one?
I don't know. I just saw a Cruze on your post.
Yeah, it was
Silverado.
Cruze. No, it wasn't a Silverado. It was one of their, cool, you know, lower end. But anyway.
What's the Equinox? Is that a good one?
She said they were giving away a Chevy Cruze.
Okay.
And that I was randomly picked electronically based on my tickets, you know, about the fact that I bought the tickets, and that I won a 24-month lease, a free 24-month lease, for a Chevy Cruze.
Really?
I'm like a dumbass. I know. And I'm like, immediately I'm thinking to myself, yeah, right. Like, how are you going to give me a fucking car without knowing that I have good credit, that I'm not going to take it out, you know, that I have a job, that I'm going to go out and destroy this car and turn it around and bring it back to you. But anyway, I didn't have too much time to process it. And I went with my negative, pessimistic, cynical approach.
Which is like, get off my porch, right?
Pretty much. And I'm thinking to myself, too, immediately, I'm like, I'm going to have to do something really fucking stupid on the Jumbotron. Mm. And I'm not down with that. I'm just here to watch the game.
Yeah.
So I told him, like, oh, you know, I just bought a car, you know, about 4 weeks ago. So, you know, I'm not really. She looked at me and she goes, you're not interested? And I'm like, no, I really, you know, I appreciate it. I'm flattered, but, you know, no thanks. Hmm. So she just kind of lingered there for a minute. She goes, oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and
that's what did you hesitate at that moment? Like, Because if it was a pitch, like if you're like, no, I'm not interested in that free 3-day cruise, then they might be, well, sir, if you take this cruise, it's absolutely free and blah, blah. And they try to sell you. So she didn't try to sell you at all.
No, she didn't say anything. So I went back to talking to Josh and he was like, what was that about? And I was like, oh, she was saying that I want a free lease or something, car lease for a Chevy cruise. And he's like, well, you know, he's asking me, he's like, well, what? And I'm like, I don't know. She, you know, she didn't say much. I just told her I wasn't interested. The guy behind me says, because Melissa sat back down. And Melissa really didn't hear much of what was going on either.
Oh, I bet she was pissed.
What? No, she wasn't pissed. Oh. But the guy behind me even said, he goes, did you turn that down? And I'm like, yeah, I just bought a car. I didn't think too much about it. But then after I'm sitting there for the next couple innings, I'm like, well, gosh, maybe I should have asked more questions about it.
Yeah.
You know, because maybe I'm passing up something that was, you know, better than I thought. But I didn't give it too much thought, right?
Sure.
So a couple more innings go by, and I decide, because I'm sitting there between innings, and I'm going to Google it and see if I can come up with something. I couldn't come up with something, but Josh did. And, you know, we're kind of checking it out, and he's like, yeah, it looks like it's a – it looks like you had a, you know, free car for 2 years.
Shit.
But I know, right? So then I'm like, yeah, okay. But I'm like, you know, I do have a new car. Here's the thing. We live in the middle of everything that's like 2 minutes away. So I have the new car. We kept the 320 that my wife never drive. She just doesn't ever drive. Huh. On the rare occasion she's got a meeting, you know, somewhere else, she'll take it. But yeah. I mean, she's probably driven the other car 5 or 6 times since we've been here. My oldest daughter, who lives in the same apartment complex, her and her husband and our 2 grandsons, you know, they moved down here too, and she'll use it because they only have 1 vehicle and he has to drive to Boca to work. So she'll take the 320 and like take the kids to school and stuff because it just sits there. So I'm like, okay, cool, you know, go ahead and use it. And here's the funny thing. The only thing that I do with this car usually is I use it as I call it a parking blocker, where I have this primo big parking spot right by the door that's covered for my new car.
Okay.
So, yeah, when I get ready to leave,
shit.
I keep the fob to the 320 in the new car, and I pull it out, and then I pull the 320 in so nobody can fucking park there.
Nice.
Because what happens is I'll come home, and these lazy fuckers will have their little beat-up cars right there in the big spot, and then I have to park my new car out where it's not covered, and I don't want the sun to fuck up my paint, my interior. Apparently, when it gets really hot, Scott, you can probably say whether this is true or not, but when it gets really hot, it can fuck up even a high-end interior.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, I don't want anything to happen to my car.
You guys
so
probably get that in Texas, right, Scott?
That's what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, we keep my wife's car in the garage, her BMW.
Yeah. Because, you know, at first I thought, oh, maybe it'll hail. But then I heard that the heat can actually be an issue, not only to the paint, but to the interior. So it's not about me being lazy. If I had to walk.
But anyway, what happened, though? Okay. We're getting way off here. So you couple innings later, you find out maybe this thing might have been legit. What did you do? Did you, like, run down and track the people? Did you get the car? What happened?
I didn't get the car. What happened was at the end of the game, and it probably took a while because they had to go, you know, find somebody else to win the fucking thing.
Yeah.
So in like the 8th inning, in between innings, this new Chevy Cruze rolls out of center field onto the field, and it's on the Jumbotron, and this family is jumping around. I said like they're on Family Feud. Like it was like they were telling them, you have to be dramatic. You have to be like all excited and everything else because this is a promotional thing. So the kids are coming out and they're all excited. They're like, jumping around, and the dad's jumping around acting like a dipshit, which, you know, he got a fucking car. So when I say he's acting like a dipshit, maybe I would have done the same thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
The truth is I didn't.
You did the right thing, Skip. You know why? Because it's not free.
That's what I'm saying.
Still got to pay the taxes. He's got to pay tax title license. It's a lease agreement. In 2 years, you're still either stuck with a balloon payment or they give you a shitty residual return value and that's how they trap you into it. And then you're trapped into getting another lease with Chevy.
That's what I said.
Wow.
I bet you the mileage was like 2,000 miles or something over the course of 2 years. So I'd have been, never mind that I probably wouldn't have driven it much, but still, I know there was something there hidden in it that I don't know.
You keep telling yourself that, guys.
I know. I am
you would have to pay the sales tax on it and all that. And then they have to sign a lease. They just don't give you the car and say, hey, skip, bring it back in 2 years. You have to sign a lease agreement, and it's the same as any lease. There's going to be either a balloon payment you pick up, or you can bring it back. And if they run you a low residual on it, and they don't value the, you know, they don't value the car's damaged or over miles, then you got to pay that crap. And yep, it's a piece of crap car too, so you don't need it.
Well, and I mean, I didn't want to. I'm glad you said that instead of me, because it would have sounded kind of pretentious. But yeah. I mean, my car, you know, I got a fucking pretty badass M5, and I don't want to drive a Chevy fucking Cruze, even if it is free.
Well, so it sounds like maybe the other people liked it, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Maybe in the end it was better, because you know what? Maybe they were legit, like, you know, happy with it and everything else. Whether they get screwed in 2 years, that's their problem, not mine. But it seemed like they were pretty happy with it. Somebody else could take advantage of it. It was just one of those things where it didn't occur to me right then.
Yeah.
Because I was being so cynical and pessimistic that I mean, if I needed a car, I would have kicked myself in the ass, because I still would have probably shot it down.
Right, right.
And then been like, oh, shit, man. And, of course, my oldest daughter is sitting there like, why didn't you take it? We only have one car.
Right, right.
Like, using mine, it's fine. I'm not going to get a free lease and then have you take it and run the fucking miles up on it, because who's going to pay for it in the end? Me. Because yeah. Well, I got money.
If you would have bought the $100 ticket down the baseline instead of the $3 ticket and the nosebleeders, they were probably giving away an S-Class Mercedes.
I don't sit in the nosebleeders. No, I am I'm pretentious enough, not only with food and other shit, but no, I was in the good seats, which is another thing, because typically they don't do those types of promotions in the good seats.
Really?
No, they don't. They give away, you know, we were season ticket holders in Colorado for quite a few years, and when they give away, like, $500 shopping sprees every game to King Supers for groceries, it's always like third level or something. And it makes sense, because the people who, like, are season ticket holders, and they come to the games more often than the other people. So it's probably more of a promote. Plus, they're going to be far more excited. Hmm. I'll be excited to get $500 worth of groceries. But if you give $500 worth of free groceries to somebody who doesn't have, you know, very much money, and they're pinching pennies and going paycheck to paycheck, they're going to probably be a little bit more excited about it.
Well, listen, speaking of contests, we have another giveaway for Advices. And so we kind of segued, yeah, right into this now. So this time, this is what we're going to do. Last time we had a really great outpouring. Worked really good. We had people that all they had to do was just post an Instagram story and tag Advices in it, and we got, you know, a ton of entries. We gave away a t-shirt. This time it's going to be a little bit different. When you listen to the show, it's going to be out Thursday. Go to the Advices Radio Instagram page. We are going to have a picture, you know, thread, whatever you want to call it, posted there, and it's going to be for this contest. Now, the nature of this contest is, what we want you to do is guess Skip's number one, and Scott, no guessing. No guessing on the show.
That's right. We don't want to give anything away.
You got to guess Skip's number one go-to food when he's doing a skip load. And I have heard you talk about this stuff before. If we were to go back, if you're a really, like, avid listener of Blood, Sweat, and Gear or PED, I feel like you know Skip. You know Skip like I know Skip, and you could probably guess this. And so for that reason, I think we're going to get a bunch of people that are going to get the right answer. And what I want you to do is I want you to post your answer on that thread, and I'm going to take all the people that get it right. You will be entered into a raffle just like Skip was entered into. And we're going to do two prizes. So we are going to give away an Advices Radio t-shirt. If you're a guy, we've got the t-shirts. I've got a few tank tops left. So if you prefer that, we have that. And we have the women's racer backs. All good quality shirts. And Skip, you were going to do another prize. So these are not first and second. They're just, you know, two different prizes. Skip, what did you have for us that you wanted to throw in?
I have a massive supply of 5-pound bags of Team Skip Blend from Ooh, True Nutrition.
Nice.
So, and it's a pretty good selection of flavor.
Okay.
So what I'll have to do is I'll have to let you know the flavors that I have, but I probably have, if I'm guessing, I probably have 8 or 10 5-pound bags of Team Skip protein. So I am going to donate one of my 5-pound bags. Awesome. So,
hey, how is the strawberry? Have you done the, I think there's like a strawberry flavor that's one of the true.
Strawberry sorbet is pretty good, but I combine my protein flavor. So if I'm going to have strawberry, I won't just have strawberry. I'll combine it with like French vanilla.
Ooh,
and I think it's even better. Yeah.
The reason I ask, I just placed an order at True Nutrition because there was a few things I wanted to pick up and I bought a few pounds of Team Skip and I got the strawberry sorbet. So it's on its way right now. I'm looking forward to checking that out. And I used code Skip. So guys, speaking of True Nutrition, if you guys do want to go there and order anything, use code SKIP. Look for this post because I want to be able to give shirts away. And I think it's awesome, Skip, that you're getting involved with this too. We love doing this show. It's fun to us. And I know you guys enjoy it. So we want to try to give something back to you too.
I have a prize to get add in.
Yeah. Now, is this legal?
It's an empty Cheetos bag. I can hear it.
No, it's an old Project Bodybuilding t-shirt I clean my toilets with. I'll toss that into the mix. All right. By the way, we have a closed dome stadium for our world champion Houston Astros.
Do you?
Retractable. Yeah.
We've got a bunch of shout outs too. I'll save those for right after the break before we get to questions. Anything else going on that we should mention? I know, Skip, you were saying you've had some weird cramping stuff going on. Is that related to the weather down there, or have you figured that out? What's the deal with this?
Yeah, I don't really know. It could be related to humidity, but I've been here for a while, and I haven't had any problems till the last couple of weeks, and I haven't been doing anything, you know, different, like running a retardedly strong fat burner or something.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know if my water intake has just been a little bit lower than it's needed to be and I'm not replacing enough of it. I'm in the middle of figuring it out, but it's been pretty concerning because I was having cramps just walking downstairs Friday at the game. So I've increased my water, and we'll see if that's the issue. But I've been holding a little bit. I have a little bit of edema. It's not bad. I without variables changing, and then to run into a situation like this, it's been a little bit concerning. If it continues, I'm going to have to take a closer look at kidney numbers. But my blood pressure and everything is good. So I don't know what's going on, and I don't have a very good answer because I haven't
central minerals.
Yeah, there's something.
Also, I just thought of something. You're near saltwater coast, dries you out faster.
Hmm. Really? I mean,
Okay.
Well, it could just, you know, over time it was, you know, maybe it's catching up with me. And like I said, the first thing I'm doing is I'm just taking my fluid intake up because if it's just too low, that's obviously the most, the easiest fix. From there, I got to take a look at my electrolytes and stuff. I could run out and get blood work done and check my kidneys, but if it's something simple that I can rectify in a couple days, then we'll see. And it's not an issue with, like listeners might be thinking, oh, maybe you're on Clen or whatever. I do cramp bad on Clen, but I'm not on Clen. So I don't really know what's going on.
Environmental change.
PMS.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of environment. It's a huge environmental change from where you're at to where you're at now.
I don't know. Like I said, it's hard for me to figure out because if it were happening only a month after I was here or a month into prep or I just changed and I'm doing a ton of cardio or something, but there really hasn't been any big...
Getting hotter there. That's what you're saying. It's environmental.
Get a good
essential mineral supplement. I bet you it fixes itself.
Well, we'll see. I'll know in a couple days.
But if you die, leave your car to me, please.
Not the cruise.
Yeah, not the cruise. I'll leave the cruise 24-month lease for you.
Like I said, we got a bunch of shout outs. You know, speaking of fat burners, though, something I just started messing around with. Have you guys ever experimented with carterine?
Mm-hmm.
No.
What do you think about it, Scott? Just out of curiosity, I picked up a pre-workout that has carterine in it.
It's one of those, like, makes a 3% difference, 2%, okay. Whatever.
I'll tell you what, I used the pre-workout, and I just used a half a scoop because it also has DMA in it and alpha yohimbine. I felt warm for, like, 3 hours post-workout.
But you did.
I was sweating.
Very minimalistic.
You don't think it's a big deal? Wait, what about the... I see that it helps with cholesterol, too. Have you heard of people having... Yeah. Have you heard a benefit to that?
Yeah, I mean, it does to an extent, but it's kind of like saying, you know, Cialis helps your blood pressure. I mean, yeah, there's some small changes, but it's not, you could just dump the whole thing and just do 10 more minutes of cardio 4 days a week, and you just get as much or more out of that all the way around.
Yeah, I was curious what you guys thought if you had experimented with it. I've known a lot of people, I've had, you know, a bunch of people I've worked with that have used it and they've liked it and they liked the warmth and the cardio endurance that they got from it. But like I said, it's not something I've ever messed with. And since I was at a contest over the weekend and one of our sponsors, Mind and Muscle for Bodybuilding Nerds, had a table set up there and they sell a bunch of gray area stuff. And one product, it's this pre-workout called Death Punch. And they're like, yeah, we can't even sell this on the internet. You have to buy it directly in the store or here at the table. And that's because it contains cartarine. And that's, you know, not supposed to be in, I guess, a lot of products. So whatever.
Just take meth. It'll work better.
Meth? A little meth?
You know, I mean, a lot of supplements work. A lot of them work, but it's micro.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
That's where I am with it. I don't say that it won't work. I think that it just, in the big picture, you know, if you have something like Clen and T3.
That's your heavy hitter.
Yeah, something like that. It's just, I think it just makes something like cartarine probably just really not needed. And I admit that I have not used it, but I haven't used it because of the feedback that I've gotten from it being that it's just relatively insignificant.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, I'm micro. Stuck with my tub of it, and I'll see what I get. I'm not looking for any fat loss right now, but if I get some cardio endurance, I was thinking I'd take this on leg day, and that would be cool if I got some like bonus reps.
You could put some CLA in it. That would make it even like 0.001% micro.
Well, thanks for the pro tip. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
$100.
Let's get to our commercial break. When we come back, we will do shout outs and we got a bunch of listener questions. What do you guys say?
Cool.
Cause inside out is wicked and wicked and wicked and whack. I come stomping with something pumping to keep you jumping. R&B rapping bull crap is what I'm dumping. Ain't nothing soft about crisscross. We all at. So when they ask, do they rock? Say believe it.
Team Skip has been synonymous with bodybuilding conditioning for the last two decades. From NFL players to professional bodybuilders to 40-something guys that just want to kill it in the gym and their shirt sleeves. If you have too much skin, call Skip. TeamSkip.com, because skin is overrated.
Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
Guys, welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear, S2H, and Skip Hill. Check out the websites. You can go to the advancedtrainingtech.com website, get a hold of Scott. Check out, well, Team Skip is just about everywhere, but teamskip.com, as well as go to the Intense Muscle message board, because there's a ton of good info there. And a while back, we were saying that DC training was coming back. Isn't Dante doing something now, Skip? Some sort of like DC revival type thing with Dusty?
Yeah,
or something?
He's doing something with Dusty. Okay. But I don't know the details of it. I've seen him mention it a few times on social media, but I haven't jumped in to see what they're doing.
Well, there's so much good information at the Intense Muscle message board. I mean, classic threads. Like some of the most important threads, as far as like original bodybuilding threads there ever were made at that board. Like Cycles for Pennies. I have just so much information. So guys, it's still there. Go check it out. And up next, we'll do a little bit of shout outs. So it looks like everybody kind of they got the memo from last week that we were going to start taking shout outs over at the Advices Radio Network at Instagram. So if you haven't yet, go ahead and follow that. And every time we do a show, we will post a thread for shout outs. So this week we have Martin. I know he's a longtime listener of the show. Here's the thing, too. When we did it on Facebook, we got everybody's like full names. You know what I mean? Because it would be, right. You know, it'd be like, this is from Ken Hill. And this time, you know, like people don't have to put their full name on Instagram. So I don't have everybody's full names. But if I could find out or I knew what your name was, I'm going to say that instead of your Instagram handle. A little more work for me, but hey, I don't care. And if I don't have your full name, then obviously I'm not going to read it. So Martin, and then Clay Adams. And Clay, I know, is from Texas. He's got a really good physique. He's a good dude. Big guys down there in Texas, Skip.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got Chris Schwann and Ronald and Christy Poe. Steven Mott. Lori M, that's Fit Flexi Lonster. Lonnie M, I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time reading my own writing, though. But I see her all the time. We've got Omar Hurtada, and he's been listening to all the shows for a long time. Alex Wainvin. Alex just graduated from college. He's still a kid, and he's got like a better education than all three of us put together, I bet. Really smart dude. He's going to be like an engineer.
Speak for yourself.
Kane Batista. He's a client of mine, and he's from Michigan here. Really good dude. He's got a Boston Terrier Rescue. So if you guys ever need a Boston Terrier, Kane's the man to get up. Ricky Fitness. Nick, I can never say your last name, and you're a client of mine, so I'm gonna say. Read it. You guys ever get that, Skip? You look at someone's.
Is it
name.
Like Vukolo or Vicolo?
I think it's Vicolo. Yeah. I think it's Vicolo. But now that you said it, that's what I'm gonna go with.
He feels important now.
I know, right? He just competed at the Pittsburgh Championships. You know, they just had the Pittsburgh Pro with the amateur show too. And he looked really good. Legs were really peeled. He was in great shape. First contest ever. He took first in true novice in middleweight. He took first in novice, and then he took 5 out of 8 in the open. And guys, let me tell you, it was a stacked open class. Like these guys, A, they didn't look like middleweights, and B, it was pretty awesome to have beat 3 of those dudes because it was
sweet.
Great first showing. He worked with Kenny Wallach for his posing too, so he looked really good up there. Stephen Williams. And we got another one for Ben Broadhurst. You mentioned him before, Skip. He's a young dude, right?
Yep. Yep. One of the few kids that I like who are, when they get that young, I'm just like, yeah. No, he's a good kid.
Travis Schultes and GMJC Fitness. Ian Helling.
GM what?
GMJC. Does that sound like someone you know?
Keep going. I don't remember.
All right.
Sorry.
Ian Helling and a guy who calls himself Rough Diesel. That's IFBB Pro Terrence Ruffin.
Oh, Terrence. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We all know Terrence.
I didn't recognize the handle. Yeah, I didn't recognize the handle.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that handle. I see him all over Instagram. He's got a really cool physique. I expect to see him do awesome things at the Olympia this year.
Yeah, I agree.
No pressure. No pressure.
No, none. Zero.
Right? So that's all we got. Do you guys have anybody you want to mention? Any shout-outs? No?
Not a shout out so much, but if I'm having the guys redoing the website. So anybody that needs to contact me can contact me. I'll start checking it more on the advices forums. I got S2H. You just private message me. And to the people that contacted me about that, the Hilo, the veterans Hilo helicopter shooting, I got three or four people that contacted me from that listen to the show. Just that nice. Date we're trying to nail down. It's getting closer, and they can hit me up on the advices forum or at s2htraining@gmail.com. Either one. So
okay,
because a couple of them I don't have their email address. I don't have their comms still. So hit me back up.
All right. So this is a question. He says, we're looking at the Advices Radio forums at this point, the forums that Scott just mentioned. You can go to forum.advicesradio.com. In the bodybuilding section, there are threads stickied at the top for each one of the shows where we take questions. We're in the Blood, Sweat, and Gear thread. He says, hey, guys, I've listened to every episode of BSG, and I'm part of Skip's TSAP, Team Skipped Approved Trainer Group. He already knows what's coming. Skip, who is the smarter person? A football fan that loves cats or a dog loving baseball fan?
Oh, that's a tough one.
What's the story? What's the deal here? I don't get it.
Well, he's just trying to cross me up because he knows I'm not a football fan.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what, I'm a football fan when I'm training somebody that I have a vested interest in.
Yeah.
And then I'll jump in. I was only a Broncos fan by proxy because I was there, and it was fun because they won quite a bit, and New England, you know, Denver rivalry all the time for the AFC. But that's a tough one. I don't have – he probably also knows that I have issues with dogs in restaurants and dogs on patios at bars. Drives me fucking nuts. So I'm always going to go with baseball over cats.
Oh, wow. Holy shit. Work.
I know. Zuri is probably scowling at me right now outside of the door, with a WTF. But right. It is what it is. Baseball over everything.
All right. Yeah. Let's get to some real questions here. He's got a real question, too. He says, we actually discussed this in the group. So last episode, which was a couple episodes ago now, S2H said a flat no to metformin with DMP. However, you guys were trying to wrap up the show. I think he's saying we're trying to move it along a little quicker. He says, why is this? I am a diabetic, and I have been using metformin XR for 11 months. I don't relish the idea of coming off metformin for 2 weeks or so to run DMP and then have to reload it. So why is this combo a no? Is it potentially dangerous? Thank you for the great show. And he says, loves my Advices Radio t-shirt, Scott. Thank you very much for supporting Advices. And I'm actually wearing my Advices shirt now, too. It feels real comfortable. I wore it to the dentist today. So what's up with this, Scott? We talked about that, you remember, a couple episodes ago. You were saying metformin and DMP just wasn't a good idea. And what's your thought process behind this so that he can understand? Or is it different for somebody that's actually using it because they need it for their diabetes?
Well, oh, my God, I hate this topic. I just want to say that. But it's something that would be very hard to explain in even a short period of time. But if you go back and you listen to the show that we talked in depth about how DNP functions in the body.
Okay. And that was a while ago.
I mean, I don't remember the episode, but if you go back and listen to it and you look at that or even just look up how it, you know, it functions in the body, it'll give you the answer. Now this is, now that you said that he said he's type 2 or type 1.
Does he
pre-diabetic,
say,
whatever.
He says he just says I am a diabetic, and he's been using metformin for 11 months. So,
you know, in that case, I don't really want to comment on it because that's something I didn't make a decision off what I say, but that's something I'd have to actually really put some thought into. But if you go back and look at the whole mechanism of DMP, what it does, to your body, what it does to your system, and then you look at what metformin does. And this also goes into the part of the certain kind of diet that's required to make it work a certain way. Okay. So when you say using it, that's kind of a doesn't cover the whole landscape. If you do it the correct way, and you know, with the correct diet, the correct ancillary supplements to go with it, and everything, they make everything make it function properly at a very low dose. Metformin is going to is going to screw that process up.
I see what you're saying.
It's not going to make it. It's not going to make what you're going to end up doing with metformin. If you use it, this is the easiest way to say it: is you're going to end up using it, and you're going to have to take more because you're not getting the results you should from the low dose with the proper plan.
But you would agree it's not necessarily a dangerous issue. It's just an effective issue. Is that what you're saying?
It could be dangerous. But I mean, see, he's taking metformin because, you know, obviously he's got insulin issues from being diabetic. Well, DNP, it basically shuts that function down to a degree. I'm not saying it could be dangerous. I'm not saying it's not, but it also could be completely worthless. I mean, you're using something you could potentially drop a couple pounds of fat a day. I mean, what the hell is metformin going to do for you other than be problematic or maybe inhibit the process?
Okay, how about let's go another angle then. There are other trainers out, and I'm not going to argue I'm not the effectiveness, but I'm just going to point out there are different protocols. As an example, you know, there's another trainer, you know, who trains a lot of pros and guys who are getting ready to turn pro, and his approach with DNP and the diet is keto, or more of a keto based in the sense that it's very low to no carb. So if you're not using the carb protocol that you subscribe to with DNP, would you still consider that it would be not effective or that it would be problematic to keep the metformin in? And I think the reason I'm trying to emphasize this is because I know that this question has been posed to me by this guy, and I wanted to make sure and encouraged him to, you know, put this question in for the show because I wanted it to go to you. So I want to make sure that we can hit a couple angles if we can. I understand that you're saying it's not as effective because of the way the diet is set up, but yet if he's been using it all along and he were to use a diet that was, say, more keto or along the lines of what, you know, a different trainer or a different person would subscribe, it wouldn't necessarily become dangerous or ineffective, but he may have to use a higher dose. And I think that's why, too, tell me if you agree, that when you run keto or low-carb diets with DNP, that's how you can get away with the higher dosing because you don't have the heat issues that you do when you put...
That's because it's not working properly.
Right, it's not working as effectively. I can understand that.
I can't see any reason to use metformin with DNP, but you know, it goes back to, like you said, what are you kind of DNP, how much, what's the diet, what's the whole, because everything matters so much with that. You know, I personally don't think keto is I know it is, it's not that effective with it. I kind of liken it to buying a Ferrari and driving at 55 with two seatbelts on. You know, I mean, you're getting something out of it, but you're not maximizing it at all.
But you don't feel that the higher dosing with the keto offsets that and can still make the process. I understand we're talking in very general or vague, you know, broad terms. I get that. But what I'm saying is if you can increase the dosage while you're on keto versus keeping the dosage of DNP low while you're running carbs, it could still, on paper, be as effective, but you have to use a much higher dose.
And you're introducing a much higher dose of a toxic substance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not. I won't argue that.
I just can't. In theory, yes, you could say that kind of. But I mean, I think it's just not very. It's not a smart idea.
Okay. So if he were to run a diet that you recommend, as far as using the carbohydrate to fuel the low-dose DNP, then it would probably be better for him, even though his body is used to and he is adapted to using the metformin. You should, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, I'm just trying to get some idea, because I understand that there's a ton of variables, and I understand you're not terribly comfortable giving, you know, this black and white answer to a very gray topic. But it sounds like you're saying then that if he were to do that with the carbohydrate diet that you would recommend, that pulling the metformin then would be a better idea while he was on the DNP than to keep it in.
DNP's action, if done properly, is so strong that there's nothing else you can take that's gonna add anything to it.
So basically, like, metformin wouldn't be needed. I mean, is that?
No, it's like saying I'm gonna take Clen, I'm gonna take T3, I'm gonna take T4, I'm gonna take all this stuff with DNP. It doesn't increase the process because DNP is so powerful. I mean, it alters the metabolic rate of your body completely, and it's like.
Right, but I don't think he's trying to keep it in to make it more effective. I think he's trying to keep it in so that he doesn't have to pull it out and let his body basically have to readjust when he puts it back in after the DNP run.
You're talking about the diabetic metformin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think you're dealing with a lot of issues there, because, I mean, I'm not saying you couldn't keep it in, but if a person is diabetic, I mean, and you use DNP, you're starting to travel, and especially with a keto diet, you're starting to put them in, you know, potentially put somebody in a really bad position, health-wise, because they're already have, you know, poor insulin resistance or lack of insulin release from the pancreas. So I think if someone's in that position, they're playing with fire, regardless of the diet, regardless of anything. I just don't think it's a really good idea.
So you're just saying that it's not a good idea in his situation to even use DNP any in the first place?
No, I don't think it's a good idea, because, you know, if you use keto and metformin is a glucose disposing agent, what the hell is it disposing?
Right. You know? Yeah. I can't argue that. I'm not saying that he even wants to run keto or that he's running keto.
I think you would have to compensate in the diet. Like the one that I would say is the best one, I know it works very well, but there'd have to be a lot of compensation in the diet and in the ancillary supplements, the bunch of the OTC ones, to compensate for being diabetic and using DNP. And I just think you're playing with fire.
Okay, fair enough. That's what I was trying to get.
Yeah, it's not something I would. I'm not. I don't even that diet. That thing's. I think I threw it away. I just forgot. I mean, it's such a sensitive topic that I don't even. And I think with something like that, it's just I wouldn't even entertain that at all.
I see where you're going though. Now I get it, because we see when he posed the question, I didn't understand what you meant at first, but when you talk about DNP, you're not just talking about DNP, you're talking about the correct nutrition that goes with it, and then that plays into why you would need metformin. So it's not just a drug to drug relationship, it's also the nutrition involved, right?
You know, I want to say that, you know, I learned that from someone else. I didn't figure that plan out on my own. So okay. I want to make that clear years, long time ago, but yeah, it works very well. But I'm also on, you know, when that topic came out first, I had all kinds of people messaging me, hey, I'll give you like $1,000 to give me that plan, all this. This is not something I'm comfortable with. There's like 3 or 4 people ever that I've been worked with that ever have been comfortable trying it. It's just not something I've dismissed it to. It's never coming out again, basically.
Fair enough.
It's just too risky.
Well, let's move on in which case. And next question says for Skip first and both Scotts. I know you said you like to keep higher test than everything else in the prep phase, but have you ever tried prep with lower test while keeping things like Tren, etc., at a higher dose? Did you look leaner and drier? Did you feel like shit? Do you know of many modern day competitors who use this approach? and what do you think of it? I think that he's bringing this up because we were just recently talking about that in the past couple episodes about how we do prefer to use higher tests. So he asks specifically for Skip's response first, and then we'll go to you, Scott, and then I'll chime in.
Yeah, I've done pretty much every combination. Maybe not every combination, because obviously the combinations are, you know, infinite. But I certainly have tried it. I've had clients who have gone that route. I still come back to, and that's why I come back to the higher tests. I just think that, I just think it's a better move overall, because as long as you can control the estrogen kickback, then you're fine. It's cliche, and I understand that a lot of people, especially the younger kids, find it antiquated. Like, there has to be some progression or evolution with the gear process, but I don't believe that. I still think that everything should be based around testosterone and controlling estrogen, and from there, I don't think that these high doses of tren and low doses of testosterone are a great idea. Now, I'm not against, and I've done it with my own cycle for this prep, that as I go deeper into the prep, I add other non-testosterone, you know, products, whether it be an oral or whether it be, you know, testosterone related, you know, like EQ, things like that. But I just still stand by the fact I always have, probably because I've seen it and experienced it, you know, for years ago, that testosterone is just best. It's just best. And when you come off of the cycle, I think that your body, as far as your HTPA, I think will recover better if it's test-based as well. Now, that's more speculation and, you know, my best guess after years of experience, but I think that people tend to struggle coming off of cycles when they're running a lot of tren and zero to no testosterone. Much more so than testosterone. And the other part that I can't really understand is I don't understand why everybody is so against it. I don't know why people are against tests. It's like they have this feeling that they're going to be not dry enough or not in good enough condition or something. And that will only happen if you don't control the estrogen. Now, if you have a situation where you're incredibly estrogen sensitive and you're taking high doses of anti-estrogens and you're struggling to control estrogen, that's a different situation. But that's the exception to the rule. I think that people tend to think that they're estrogen sensitive, much like they're sensitive to carbs. If you take if you're eating too many carbs and you're not getting lean, that's not necessarily you're carb sensitive. Mm. It means you're just fucking overdoing it. So if you're overdoing your testosterone dose and you're not able to cover it with or cover the estrogen kickback with your anti-estrogens, then yes, that certainly can be an issue. But I've done it so many different ways for so long. That, I mean, and I don't want to take a shot at the guy asking the question, but I do want to say, of course I've tried it, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be able to stand firm on it. It seems counterintuitive. I mean, I'm not the type of person that would give, you know, advice like that to clients and to people, you know, to listeners and, you know, in my logs or in articles or anything, if I didn't have anything to back that up.
Yeah. How about you, Scott? What are your thoughts on this one?
I'll just come out and tell you that everything from 16 weeks in. How about that?
Okay.
So this would be a tip, probably just a general typical light heavyweight competitor that's competed a little bit. You know, got a good frame. So it'd be a gram a sip, sust, or an anthe, one of them. At six, starting 16 weeks out, a gram a week, 600 milligrams of DECA. So 1,600 milligrams total from 16 weeks to 6 weeks out. Growth every other day. Sorry, they'd already be using that, but then through that first 10 weeks, then it's 6 weeks out, switch to 100 milligrams of Tren A, EOD, 75 milligrams of Masteron Prop, EOD, 50 milligrams a sip or whatever their long is, ester is, EOD, probably like 75 milligrams of Anavar, 100 milligrams of Proviron, and switch from Arumidex from before the 6 weeks out to Aromasin, about 12.5 a day, roughly. Run that down to about a week out, throw in 10 milligrams of halotestin a day. If they need to fill out at the end, throw in 10 milligrams of Superdrol Thursday and Friday. That's it.
You like the Halo. We were talking about that the other week. Skip's not a fan so much. I like the Halo, too.
Going up the Aromasin the last 7 days.
And you like know. The Aromasin, huh? I find for me, you know what I found with Aromasin is that if I don't stay on top of it, if I were to say start getting sensitivity like at the nipple, and if I miss a dose of Aromasin, boom, it's back immediately. It's for me, it doesn't work as good. Like Arimidex dries me out a lot better. But that's me personally. I know you've said that before, that you feel Aromasin works very well for a lot of people. And you said especially for like older guys, right?
I think there's a big difference between like Pfizer Aromasin and a lot of other stuff. So I think there's a quality issue. If that, you think you have a quality issue, you can stick with Arimidex. Huh. You know, last week I'd probably have somebody like 1 milligram a day. Sometimes maybe drop the test down in the last week just to 25 on Monday, Wednesday. I don't believe in cutting stuff out. The little bit of test, especially the long ester, keeps you fuller.
Yeah.
If you're worried about that, you're not in good enough shape. But yeah, if someone's little flat, too flat, you can toss in like 10 milligrams of Superdrol or 25 milligrams of Anadrol on Thursday and Friday. But don't try this like your first time at an experiment, maybe a couple weeks out, see how you react to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm the other way for the record.
That's pretty much basic.
I go the other way. I usually start with the Aromasin and I come in because I do feel that Arimidex or even Letrozole is just, to me, I always liken it to killing an ant with a grenade. And I think that when you, as you get real close to the show, if you happen to have low estrogen, it's not going to play out as far as ruining or negatively impacting your condition. Where if you start a prep and you have low estrogen, then you kind of cut into any potential gain. I don't want to say any potential gain, muscle gains, but you could potentially cut into gains, and it's going to fuck your HDL, LDL, cholesterol profile up. In my opinion, so I go the other way. I don't necessarily think it's right or wrong. I just think that I would rather get nasty and have estrogen too low close to the show versus further out.
Yeah,
and that's where the Proviron, that higher dose Proviron helps out a lot on that side. And I agree with you. You go either way. You could go all one of the other Remedex all the way through. I mean, it's I just like it too that way, but it's not. I would say that's a more of a micro difference than a macro. You could go
either
way. Yeah.
Electro, I don't care for. There's studies that show that Arimidex is a far more effective aromatase inhibitor than Letro. So
you touched on one thing, Scott, that I've seen in my own experience, and I've seen with other people that when I've lowered the test dose, I feel like it's not allowed me to hold as much just fullness or mass as when I've kept it up at a decent level.
Yeah, I mean, I think with some newer, such like newer competitors, they read stuff on the internet and they're like, oh my God, I stopped taking tests like 3 weeks out, and they're flat and they have trouble filling out. And it could be other things too, but a lot of times that's the reason. I mean, even if you just go with like 25 milligrams on Monday, Wednesday before the weekend of the show, that's gives you a little bit of a little bit of aromatase activity, releasing some IGF from the liver, volumizing the cells just enough that you can stay a little bit fuller. So I think that's like I do flip to the harder androgen side, but I like to leave that longer or even like an isocaparate or something in a test, like a medium ester type test. Probe's okay, but something with a little longer chain to it in a lower dose.
All right. Now, you weren't here for this one last week or last episode, Scott. Skip, you remember the guy with the partially torn bicep?
Yeah.
He says, update, everything is okay. I ended up getting an X-ray and MRI after I went back to the doctor's office. because it ended up bruising from shoulder to wrist. Ended up being a tear in the actual muscle and, ended up being a tear in the actual muscle and a large hematoma. They prescribed me the same thing, ice, heat, compression, elevation, post-op, elbow brace, and rest. I loaded up on MK677 CJC with DAC, TB500, and BPC. It seems to have worked a miracle, but the only thing me and my doctor are worried about is if there is any scar tissue buildup. Do you guys have any tips on getting rid of scar tissue or preventing?
I'll tell you this, if it's scar tissue and it was an actual tear to the muscle, even if there is a little bit of scar tissue, he's going to be better off with that than if it were a tendon. So he's pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what to do with the scar tissue? I mean, I've said all along, because I've gotten work done on scar tissue from injections over the years, and I am not convinced that it does much of anything other than make me cry. So I don't know that it, I'm not going to say it's not effective, but I think you have to have a ton of painful work done to have any impact on minimizing the scar tissue, while other people say that it absolutely can be minimized. So I probably should just defer to Scott to see what he thinks, because I just don't think it has a huge impact. Obviously, it depends on how much scar tissue is there, to the point where if it's, I don't want to say deformed, but if it has altered the shape of the muscle, you know, as to whether he wants to go through the process and try to, you know, minimize it. I don't know what impact. It's too bad there's not like a picture of it to see how bad it is. But I will say I'm glad that it's the muscle, which is rare, because usually it's not the muscle that gives, it's the connections.
Yeah. The tendon.
Yep.
So I've torn my left one partially twice. The outer head, like if you look on an x-ray, you'll see where that, it looks like a little tail, it attaches, you know, and that was torn back, like, I don't know, both times, about an inch and a half. And the first time I did it, I tried all kinds of ways to rehab it and different things. And it was kind of a painfully slow process. The second time I did it, because they were pretty far apart in time frame years, I was on genotropin, prescription genotropins, and it recovered like way faster, like miles faster. I didn't do anything extra than, you know, I mean, I started out. One thing is, I would go and get on a preacher curl Nautilus machine at first, and I'd just have no weight on it and be able to do, like, you have to take it slow. You know, you don't want to go get after it. It was a very slow process. As far as like getting it, you know, back to where my other arm was, but it was much faster with the second time. But you got to be careful. But yeah, I don't know. I had scar tissue in there too, though. When it tore the second time, I could see it. Genotropin. There you go.
Ask for it by name. All right. I'll move down to the next question here. This is from Special K. I'm on doctor prescribed TRT. My HDL is usually in the 70s. LDL is right around 150. Serum T is usually in the 800s. Free T is usually right at 20. E2 is usually right at 30. SHBG is usually right at 30 as well. It's been this way for at least a year. I recently added 50 milligrams of compounded oxandrolone and 25 milligrams of European Pharma Proviron for 30 days. I did get some nice aesthetic results, but my blood work left me with some questions. I stopped taking the aforementioned orals on a Sunday and took my TRT shot the next morning and ran blood work the morning after that, so Tuesday. My HDL went down to 16. It was in the 70s. LDL went up to 208. And that was at 150. Serum T was down in the 500s, had been in the 800s. Free T was 20, no change. E2 was 30, no change. SHBG went down to 6. and that was at 30 in the past. So here's my question. What's your guess on how long my cholesterol numbers will take to normalize? Same for SHBG. My typical T serum is 800 is usually on the trough day and done at my doctor's lab. I know not to put much stock into T serum, but the newest reading of 500 I had done at LabCorp was done the day after my weekly TRT shot. I expected my T serum to be damn near peak level. It was 300 points lower than usual. So WTF. Thank you guys. I listen to every episode. Welcome back, Bob.
Bob? That's not me.
Take it, Scott.
Well, first of all, if you get your blood work done the day after an injection, you know, depending on what time you injected the day before, I mean, especially if it's later in the afternoon. But anyway, you're like walking into like a roller coaster of where your blood work could be. You know, I don't find anything unusual about it being way off than before. I mean, I don't know what kind of I don't even know what kind of testosterone he's using, but the day after is like any couple day or two after you inject, you could probably get your blood work done in the morning. And the afternoon the next day, and then you have like big sways in your total testosterone numbers.
Right.
I mean, it's you're just walking, it's almost like you're throwing a dart at a roller coaster coming down. It's going to land somewhere in those couple of days. What was the other part?
How long it'll take to recover after he stops it.
Yeah. With this, specifically his cholesterol and his SHBG.
Here's what I always did. Is when I was getting blood work done more regularly, is I would write down on the blood work on the paper, you know, where am I at? What was I taking? Was I coming off something a week earlier? And put a lot of detail on there and then keep them filed. And as you take more, you'll see patterns, you know, okay, so 3 days after this, these numbers were skewed off. And then when you got those labs done again a year later, you kind of had that same variable because the hormones in your body, I mean, they change a lot regardless of when you inject or don't inject. Well, you know, they vary by the time, you know, morning, afternoon, night. I mean, they're never going to be the same unless you just take them exactly the same time, even to the hour, 7 days apart of whatever, you know, the exact same schedule of getting blood work. That's why it's good to take it like that sometimes when it's not on a regular basis, same time, same date, same everything. And just keep records of it. And you'll see patterns. And then if you get blood work and it's out of the pattern, then you can go, okay, well, there's an issue here. I got to maybe look into deeper. Cholesterol levels, I mean, it could depend on what he ate too. If he was fasted, what he ate the day before. I mean, they can alter your cholesterol levels for a draw. So you need to get a consistent pattern going and see where you're at normally. You know, a standard, mean score for what your markers are at. So it just takes some filing your paperwork and comparing it and stuff.
I say, but as far as recommending a time, I mean, I would just throw out as an arbitrary time frame, if it's easy to get blood work, quit the oral and go back to what he was doing prior. And if you can get blood work done quite easily and conveniently, then do it in 2 weeks and do it again in 4 weeks. That'll give you some idea to see how quickly you're going to come back. I would imagine in 4 weeks his cholesterol would have adjusted if the impact on the cholesterol was pretty much solely from adding the Anavar. And it's funny because the impact that Anavar has on cholesterol will be different from person to person. Some people it doesn't fuck with it too bad. Others it just puts it in the basement. So it kind of just depends on, you know, like what Scott is saying, what your individual response is going to be. But I would imagine in 4 weeks you would have numbers that were probably in line with what he had prior. It could be sooner than that. And there are other factors, like Scott is saying, whether it be diet, things like that. But the impact on the HDL, I'm going to guess and say, go out on a limb and just say that it probably does have to do with the Anavar and that he is not responding. It wouldn't be from the proviron, right, Scott?
No, and it's hydration. I mean, if I went and had labs like that and they were way off from my normal ones, I would go back like 3 days later and get them again.
Started the Anavar, right? Mm-hmm. And he just started it. Like, so that is a pretty sharp drop after just starting it. You may be right in the sense that it could just be, there could be other factors in there. Because if he were on for 4 weeks and everything else he could say was kind of the same, if the diet hadn't changed that much, or you know, he didn't load the day before or have two giant cheat meals, then, you know, I would probably lean more towards, you know, Anavar causing that. But yeah, there could be other variables in there. That's the bitch when it comes to things like this. If it's easy to get the blood work done, go back and get it done a few times in the next few weeks. And then that way you're going to see how you're going to recover and come back. Because if it comes back quickly, about as quickly as it went or went to shit, then it probably wasn't the Anavar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like I said, if you get more and more blood work and you start to file it and you see what you trend normally in these numbers. And I've had it too. I mean, I've gotten blood work where it's like, man, this is like miles off from normal, and then gone back 3 or 4 days later and got it, and it was back to pretty much in that the ratios it normally is. Because I mean, it happens. You're going to get it sometimes, and for a multitude of reasons. You know, like Skip said, there's reasons, and then, but when it does that, you can identify possibly what's causing that. Is it something you're taking, a supplement? Is it the diet, hydration? You know, you can. That's why I put notes all over them. And then when I have ones that are screwed up like that, I'll figure out what it was and I'll note why things were messed up. You know, that way you have that information in the future.
Fair enough. We got one from UC Suma. He's a longtime listener. He's a client of mine. Really good dude. He's made a lot of progress in the last couple of years. Question for all. As competition season kicks off, what is one of the biggest or funniest mistakes you've seen a client make during their prep that should have been obvious in retrospect? And he also asks, Skip mentioned that taurine can stave off clen cramps. What dose does Skip recommend? Also, Scott and Bob, what do you recommend? Do you recommend taurine? So funniest or biggest mistakes? I could tell you one that just happened recently with me.
Throw it out there.
We had I had a guy buy, I wanted him to buy salted almonds specifically for the morning of the show. If we needed some extra salt, I could tell him, you know, use a serving of the salted almonds. And I told him on Friday, I said, okay, today we're going to cut all salt out of the diet, no sodium at all. And, you know, I want you to eat, you know, for meal one and meal two, whatever it was, 1 cup of rice, 4 ounces of chicken, 5 asparagus spears, and 12 almonds for each meal. And then we repeated this several times throughout the day. And then we got like 3/4 of the way through the day. And I told him something about, okay, tomorrow you bought salted almonds, right? You know, bring those with you in your bag. He said, yeah, I've been eating those all day. And our idea was, of course, to hold on to those almonds, but I mean, it worked out just fine. But you know what you said to me, Skip, one time? There was a scenario, and you said, you know, you always got to look at it as the coach, that don't take anything for granted. And you know what I should have told him? I should have said, hey, these salted almonds, I should have explained what they were for specifically.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And instead, I just assumed. You know, I said, don't eat any salt. You're not going to eat any salt today, but, you know, whatever. So it still worked out just fine. But, man, I thought I was, like, you know, pulling the salt out a little bit to get them to dry out a little bit for the early part of the day, and no such luck. But
mine is the go-to that I always talk about with the and some of the listeners will probably remember, some may not, but cutting water. I've had a couple issues. Yeah. Over the years with cutting water, and the guy was a prep guy, and his instruction was to cut his water by, I don't want to say like noon, I can't remember, maybe 2 o'clock, it was something like that. And when that is said, or when that is stated, you are to run your water normal until that time, and then you cut the water at that time. But he was on three and a half gallons of water a day. And he decided that he had to get that 3.5 gallons in before the water was to be cut. And I remember thinking, how could you be so fucking stupid? And that's what prompted me to make that statement to you, Scott, was it occurred to me it wasn't stupid. He was trying to do everything right. What it was it was my fault for not being crystal clear that his water was supposed to be run per normal, just like any other day, and then cut at a specific time instead of him obviously cramming all that water into that time. He was projectile vomiting water and had to go to the emergency room and was then in a world of shit, potentially hyponatremic, which is dangerous because it thins your blood sodium levels and can actually make your brain hemorrhage. You could also be hypokalemic at that point. There's a lot of shit that can happen. Water is not as innocuous as people tend to think. We tend to focus on water and cutting it and how dangerous it can be. But an extreme amount of water is also potentially dangerous. And I get worried when I see a 120-pound figure girl with instructions to drink 3 gallons of water. That's absurd. It's dangerous. And it is shitty advice. So when it comes to water intake, I'll just tell anybody listening, you have to be careful with the water intake to base it not only on things like how big the client is, but based on activity during the day. Do you live in a hot climate? Are you in labor? As an example, if you are you do lawn maintenance, you own a lawn maintenance company and you're outside in the sun all day, then your water intake is going to be that quite different than that of someone who sits in air conditioning all day and doesn't move and doesn't sweat.
Right.
So there are a lot of factors to take into consideration when you're setting up how much water someone should take in, even aside from, you know, loading it or not loading it before a show and things like that. What about you, Scott?
I've got a funniest and a biggest mistake. Funniest one was, had a guy, that wasn't his first time competing either. Came out for prejudging. He has trunks on backwards.
What?
Oh, no shit.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. He was pretty depleted. He, went to the restroom backstage.
Holy shit.
And went to use the restroom, and not that he was sick or anything, but he was depleted. And I guess he took his trunks off because his number fell off, you know?
Yeah.
So he took his trunks off to put it back on, you know, so it's not on him, so it's easier to do it in front of him, and he put it on the wrong side and put him on backwards.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and they were like the diaper trunks, you know?
Nice.
My God.
I'll throw in a quick funny one that didn't happen to me or a client, but we see this. I wonder if you guys have seen this too. As a competitor, if you have nerves and at the last minute you got to drop a deuce, make sure you don't have the toilet ring on your boots and hamstrings when you go back, when you come out and go directly to the stage.
Hover.
Holy shit. Yeah. If not hover, at least blend it with, you know, pay attention to, oh shit. And then it's funny too, because you have to be very careful with trunks if they're light colored, because if you pull them down and you pull them back up, they're going to typically stain from your tan stain too, and they're going to look like shit. So you have to be very careful if you get that nerve doo-doo at the last minute.
Man, light colored trunks are just dangerous in general for that reason, getting stained, you know?
Yeah, they definitely are, for sure.
They can look cool though, you know, but yeah.
I've used some light colored trunks, some coffee latte, and they do look great, but you have to be very careful. And if you can get through prejudging and you think you're going to be able to use them for the night show, you're usually wrong.
Yeah.
And you know, you're not supposed to use different colors for prejudging, but at least in the NPC, I've noticed that they don't typically stick to that rule very often. But I still think as a competitor and as a trainer, even if you're not wearing black for prejudging, you really should use a dark color. If it's a dark purple, if it's a dark brown, use your flashy or neon or designed trunks for the night show.
Yeah, totally agree with
and,
that.
And if you're a white guy, don't wear like gold, and this doesn't look good.
Right. Yeah, there you got to be real dark to get away with some of those colors.
There was a lady at this show that I went to over the weekend. They escorted out one of the classes for women's physique, and they escorted this one woman out, and the expediter stopped with her on stage, and then he escorted her back off real quick, and she ducked down behind a speaker that was still on stage. Apparently, she had a suit malfunction. So you could still see her ducking down behind the speaker while she's like fighting with her suit. And then she gets it fixed, and she walks back out on stage. She gets into her place, and she didn't look right. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. She didn't look like she fit in really well. Of course, they do quarter turns, and she does the quarter turns. They get back to the front. They say front double bicep, and she's just standing there looking dumb, like, I don't know what to do. You know, rear double bicep. And then they realize, oh, not only did she have a suit malfunction, she was also in, like, master's figure. So I felt bad. Like, you could tell, like, talk about embarrassment, you know?
Yeah.
I like suit malfunctions. Well, in females.
Yeah.
What was, oh, the...
Taurine.
I had the other one.
Oh, you had another story?
Yeah, I had two. I had the funny and the bad. I had a guy that he competed once. He did real well, first time. Very competitive. Went to do a national qualifier. Kind of an extreme guy. And on his own, he decided he didn't think he was dry enough. So he took a blister pack of hydrochlorothiazide and 2 40-milligram Lasix.
What?
And he barely made it through prejudging, and he spent a week in the hospital. He almost died.
Yeah, damn right he did.
Yeah, I mean, they actually, the Sunday night, they told his wife, you might want to come and say your, you know, goodbyes.
God,
but
damn.
He made it through. But yeah, that was...
people have died on less.
And he's a really extreme person, and he did it on his own. But yeah, he came out for prejudging, looked like he was freaking 6 months pregnant.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, he may have made it, and I'm not going to beat the guy up because I'm sure he realizes what he did, but he may have made it, but the after effects, there had to have been kidney damage.
Mm.
There had to have been. Holy
his,
shit.
His AST and ALT were like 900 and... Both of them are around 900.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, he's competed since. I didn't work with him anymore after that. We parted ways, but...
yeah, that's a liability right there.
But he competed several times after that and never could really get there. I mean, I think he, you know, just by, you know, when everybody goes to weigh in, they're in trunks so you can see them. And, yeah, he would have been... at least second. I mean, he was right there with the top guy, and it was a pretty quality show. I mean, he very well could have won, because the guy that won that class won the overall. So, I mean, he'd have been right there.
What did it do to his condition? I mean, just obviously I can imagine what it did, but did it make him dry as hell, or did he just look like total ass?
Oh, no. When he came out, you know, he was going to cardiac arrest, basically. I mean, he was close to that, you know, and he was extreme. I mean, when he walked out, it was like, okay, because I was sitting next to his wife, and I'm like, okay, something's wrong. I knew he was the kind of extreme guy. We were, did he take anything? She's like, I don't know. What's the matter? I'm like, oh, shit. So he walked off early from prejudging. I ran back there. He's laying on the floor, and just bloated. I mean, horribly bloated in the stomach, and just looked like death, and checked his vitals and everything, and they were way off. And I'm like, what did you do? Nothing. Well, he finally admitted to it, but you know, it took him, he wouldn't go to the ER. I was like, we had to carry him basically to the car. And I started going to the ER. He didn't have any insurance, and he's like, no, I'll be fine. I'm like,
geez, no, you won't. Yeah, right.
I'm telling his wife, I'm like, he needs to go now, because hey, I had a friend of mine that I didn't work with him, but he had the same thing happen a couple years earlier, and he refused to go. And then he went home, and then the next day he tried to get up and walk outside, and he his whole body cramped up and locked up, and he was laying in the driveway. He couldn't move. And then they got him to the ER. So yeah, he was about as close to death as you're going to get.
Yeah. The dosing for the taurine, that's an easy one.
Yeah.
1,000 to 1,500 milligrams three times a day for the large majority of people will keep cramping at bay. And I still say that the cramping issue from Clen these days is most people use liquid Clen, and I think it's overdosed. Because back in the Clen Tab days, there was nowhere near the cramping that there is today. But 1,000 to 1,500 milligrams three times a day for the large majority of people will cover it. If you need to go higher, you can always go higher. If you're doing a lot of cardio, you're very, very depleted, you may need more than that. But you typically need it the first, depending on how long you're going to run your Clen, the first week or two. And then as your body starts to adjust better to the Clen, I think that in my experience, the cramping sides tend to subside. They don't get worse as the dosing goes up.
I concur.
Yeah, I'm so you do like taurine then, Scott. You're a fan of it, yeah. And you've seen it work good too, huh?
Especially in like I've had some guys that are like firemen and stuff, you know. People that have pretty labor intensive or out in the heat a lot, that tend to even cramp. I mean, it works. Yeah.
And it's cheap. It's easy to get. So there's no negatives for taking it. Like if you happen to take more, it's not like it's going. So there's no real good reason to not use it, to be honest with you.
Nice. You know what? I'm the same way. I'm total agreement with you guys. You know what? I never tried for a long time. And then I heard Dave Palumbo mention it out of one of his radio shows. Quinine for cramping.
Yeah, quinine.
Yeah, I never used it. And he said, you know, it's in seltzer water, like club soda. And you know what I did? Because I was going through a phase where, you know, I knew I'm dieting. At some point or another, I'm going to wake up with a leg cramp. And what I did was I just took this bottle and I left it next to my bed. And I waited, you know, and I figured one night I'll wake up with the cramp. And then I'll get to do this experiment. And immediately I took a gulp of it. It happened, of course, you know, and I can't even remember what cramped, but it was one of those, you know, crazy cramps where at first it's your quad and then you stretch that out and then your hamstring goes and then it's your quad, then it's your ham. And then you stand up and it's the other leg, one of those deals. And I grabbed the club soda and I took a big slug of it and literally within 15 seconds, boom, it fixed it.
You know, I haven't heard quinine used in that sense. Quinine is kind of an antiquated or old school approach to the last day or the day of the show.
Okay.
Is how I always do it. And I'm not going to, I mean, if that works well, that's great.
Well, I wanted to just test it out was my thought, you know, because taurine's always worked for me too. And that's my go-to, but I wanted to see like, would this actually work? So I gave it a try in that case and it did. But what were you going to say? So you've always heard of it for the
Yeah, it used to be used basically on the day of the show so that you didn't cramp while on stage. The reason that I think it's not used anymore is because AMP, adenosine monophosphate, or syntholator, is used so much. And one of the side effects of it, some people will say, well, it doesn't make me veiny because it's a strong vasodilator. And I recommend it highly. I don't think I've done a show without it since 2002. I strongly recommend this product from Synthetech. And, you know, Synthetech has great products and everything else, but at least two of their products I implore people to use, the carnitine and the scintillator. But anyway, I think the rise in the use of scintillator has kind of made quinine outdated, because one of the side effects is that it helps quite a bit with cramping. I don't think that's why people use it. They use it for the fact that it's a strong vasodilator, but one of the side benefits is that it will help to keep you from cramping quite well. So I think that's kind of made quinine and outdated. Not that it can't be used and not that it doesn't work, but it's just one more thing that you kind of don't need because you get that benefit from scintillator and so many people use it.
Scintillator works good. Just don't use too much. More is not better with that.
That's something I've had no experience with.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. It'll put you on the floor.
You have a freaking heart. I mean,
One bottle. You use the bottle in the morning and the effects will still last for the night show. What used to happen was people would use another bottle for the night show and some people would just pass out with the pin still in their glute.
Holy shit.
They'd be found in a stall, and it's just, it's so strong and so quick that it'll make you feel like ass sometimes before you can even get the injections done.
Holy shit.
And you have to stand there and you have to do nothing. You don't move, you just breathe, because your breathing becomes so fast because of the strong dilation have to let that pass for a few minutes. And once it passes, you won't even know that you took it. But while it's there, the more depleted you are, if you have food in you, it won't be as bad. But if you're depleted, you better stand there and not do anything and focus on your breathing, and then it'll pass. When I was at juniors in 09, I had a situation where I didn't load the night before like I should have. I was waiting till the morning to load, and I did that, my injections in the hotel room, and I was there with somebody, and I had used it quite a bit prior to that. And I looked up at him, and he could tell by the look on my face, I thought I was in a world of shit. And eventually it passed. So it was the only time that I probably used it 15 times. But that one time, because I was so depleted and hadn't loaded yet, it was rough. It is not a good feeling.
I believe there's a on the site they advertise, there's the absolutely don't alter from this plan of how to use it. And I would suggest, if anybody were to do that, to not alter from that plan, because there's a reason why it's so boldly put up there, as you know, say do not alter. And it works pretty good though.
Yeah,
I mean, it's very, very thin, systemic, like lightning.
Yeah, it's very thin. It's like almost like a water base. So it, you know, people think, oh my god, 2 5-mil doses in each glute. But it goes in very quickly and it hits you quick. I've had that second pin in and it started to hit me and I'm like, oh fuck my life, like I got to try to get this. And because it's such a what's the term, bolus, that it's just so voluminous that you don't want to put it in your quads, you don't want to put it in your delts, you want to put it in your glutes, so that if you have any problem at the injection site and it looks lumpy, and it shouldn't because it's thin, but you don't want that to be seen. So always go with your glutes, so that will be hidden by your trunks, but it will hit fast.
I don't know why I didn't know about this stuff.
My memory's, I can't think of it. What's the old one we used to use way back in the 90s? It had that.
I've only heard of that stuff. I've never,
it's one of the ingredients in it is, the one you just mentioned,
AMP, Denison monophosphate.
That Dave recommended.
Quinine.
Yeah. What's the one that everybody sees? I can't think of it. Was it Pump and Pose? No, what was the other one?
Pump and Pose was just silica. Not Pump Pose.
What was the one that was used in the early 90s, mid-90s? Yeah. It had that. That's one of the ingredients that was in it. I can't think of the damn name of it. But anyway, yeah.
Crazy.
Good shit, though. Look into it. It was the... It was funny because I'll tell this story real quick, but I remember when shortly after Hani started working with Phil, they guarded it like it was some kind of secret. And I had to laugh every time because I'm like, Phil knows about AMP because of me, not because of you, Hani. Nice try. But it was guarded as this big secret of what he uses right before he goes on stage that gives him such vascularity. Like, yeah, you're just a rocket science kind of guy. Thanks for taking credit for that, asshole.
Yeah, there's some guys that have been carried off stage or barely made it off stage that have excessively used some AMPs.
Or if you use it too close to going on stage.
Yeah, like right before you go on.
Yeah, you can easily take it an hour or 2 hours prior, and you're not going to lose any benefit. And if you take it and you have to be rushed out on stage, you have to move or climb stairs or walk around, the likelihood of you going to the floor is significantly higher.
Heat from the lights doesn't do much help for you either.
Exactly.
We should get them as a sponsor because bodybuilders love things that sound really dangerous. And just now we've probably sold like 30 bottles just with this segment.
Well, you're saying how dangerous it is. Sponsors Intense Muscle.
Yeah. They do.
They probably would come on. I've had a good relationship with Synthetech for years.
Do you guys have a code for them over there?
You know, I don't know if I have a code. If they order from Intense Muscle,
okay,
there's it will be, you know, linked with, and there's some type of code.
They got a bunch of stuff there. They do. What else they have? Because I remember looking at their stuff before. I think they even have like a B12 injection, don't they?
Site enhancement.
Yeah, I'd have to go back. I only use those two products. That doesn't mean that there's not other products there that are good.
And the site enhancement, yeah.
But they've got, actually, that is true. I have to say three. I did use their, and this has been a while, it's like 2003, 2004. I did use their version of Synthrol is basically what it is. Their version of Synthrol. It's much, much thinner to the point, and I believe it's significantly safer. But
lidocaine free.
Yes, it is. When you use it, you have to use it. Like if you don't use it for 4 or 5 days, it'll start to dissipate. It's that much thinner.
Wow.
But again, much, much safer than the old school, you know, stuff and the things that people are going back. Basically, people are going back to using stuff that's more dangerous and thicker because it will last longer. And I think that's a personally, I think it's a bad idea. To each their own, but
vegetable oil.
Ugh.
Oh God.
You know, I've said for years, look, if you have, say, your delts, you know, my issue is always my delt width. I've got the shoulder width.
Narrow, small shoulders. Yeah.
Put your gear in your side delts. I mean, it's, you know, oil based. There's a lot of volume there, and just move those injection sites around over your side delts and rear delts. It'll help. And then if you need to add to that, use Synthrol. But going to this new stuff that is thick and even the, what is it? Not the gel, but what Rich was using. What was he using, Scott?
He was using the same stuff Boston Lloyd uses.
Yeah. I think that is a hell of a gamble, personally.
I don't know what they were using. Oh, PMA?
Yeah, it started with a P. Yeah. PDMA.
I don't remember the brand name of it. But
yeah.
That's some scary stuff right there.
The longer it hangs around, the thicker it is. Essentially, the more dangerous it is. And that's why the original, you mentioned it earlier, the original pump and pose was basically silica or silicone. Put that in your bloodstream. Holy shit, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not me.
And for most of us, like you pointed out before, Skip, mostly, you know, the people who are listening to the show, it's not like your top level, high end competitive bodybuilders that are trying to turn pro. I think for most of us, that includes me. You know, I'm a state level guy. I've got no business really messing around with stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I think that it is used at the high level much more.
Yeah.
And by the pros much more than is talked about.
Yeah. And ideally, they're doing it well so that you ideally don't notice it, right?
Exactly.
Well, guys, we had a few questions left here, but really, we've had a pretty good full show here. We did have a couple more shout-outs. I noticed people were still writing in, one for Cody Larson and one for Richard 2.0. So there's two more shout-outs for you guys. What's going on for the rest of the day, Skip? What are you doing?
I got to get in and train. I deloaded last week, so I got to go in and, you know, train and cramp up and, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay. And Scott, how about you, man? What do you got going on?
I'm going to go do some cardio. I'm going to eat some cookies. And what was else I going to do today?
Don't those two things counteract one another?
Well, they're gluten-free, healthy, no-flavor cookies.
Oh, and, okay.
They're keto cookies my wife made. They're terrible, but, you know, they're there.
How much metformin and DMP do you use with those?
I have an IV bag of insulin I carry around on little things you get at the hospital, those little stroller things.
I got the and pump installed.
My car registered because it's out of date.
Oh.
Yeah. I got to call Eurotech Performance, talk about my stage 2 on my car. My wife has given me the okay, the green. She's awesome anyway. She's like, do whatever. She goes, I don't even care. I'm like, what?
What's this? What do you speak of?
You know, I got the Dynan exhaust put on my car last week, and I like it.
It looks cool.
Yeah, I really do like it. It adds, you know, a good amount of sound that I was like, but it's not the sound I want. The sound I want is from, it's going to be downpipes and a stage 2 tuner. And
be careful what void your warranty though.
Oh, I've already got it covered. I'm good.
Nice.
I can tell you off the air.
Yeah.
I've already, yeah, I looked into it. Because originally that's why I wasn't going to do the work, especially the downpipes. But I'll tell you off the air. It's all covered and I'm good. So
I got to mow my lawn too.
I got to do that too. Unless you want to come up here and do that for me, Scott.
I live in an apartment now. I don't have to do shit.
Oh, you lucky bastard. Awesome. Lucky bastard. It's awesome.
I don't even have to vacuum anymore. Mother's Day, got Melissa one of those iRobot things. She was in heaven.
Does that work good?
You know, I didn't think it would, but she complains incessantly about the cat hair. Because what has happened is we've gone from 3,600 square feet to what? You know, this three-bedroom apartment that has hardwood floors. And I told her, I'm like, there was just as much cat hair, but it was in a larger space, so you didn't notice it.
Yeah, yeah.
So now she's bitching every day, and I bought it like a week ago, and she was bitching a couple days ago, and I just wanted to yell at her because I'm taking a shit, and she's bitching at me. And I just wanted to go, you know what? I got you a fucking iRobot. Okay, just shut up. I'll give it to you on Sunday. But I just let her bitch, and boy, she's just loving it now because it's so cool. It's awesome. It goes around, and it keeps the goddamn floor clean all on its own. So. Okay.
I need that.
Pretty good deal. Yep.
All right, guys. Well, don't forget about the contest.
If anybody wants to know the answer to Skip's the question trivia, I can be bought. So.
Oh, shit.
Great. Always have that one guy, that inside guy who's willing to give it up.
Yeah, if you guys know what that answer is, go to, or if you don't and you want to just make a wild guess, you might be right. So go to Advices Radio Network on Instagram. Look for the post about the contest and just lay it out there. Let us know what you think it is. If you get it right, you will be entered into the drawing. We have two prizes to give away. Skip's got a 5-pound bag of Team Skip protein, which is a hell of a blend. What's in that, Skip? It's egg white and
egg protein and micellar casein.
Nice. Casein. So that's like a good all day blend. Is that the reason you came up with it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't get as many questions as I used to because, you know, people used to be on that, well, you know, I can't use it post workout because it's a blend. And Shelby will tell you the same thing cuz all his clients use it. It's splitting hairs. If you want to use just whey post workout, go for it. But it is a great blend to use post workout and at any other time of the day as well. So,
excellent. So we've got that. We have, for the other prize, an Advices Radio t-shirt or Ladies Racerback, depending on which you prefer. And we will do that drawing on the next episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear.
Anyone caught making a bunch of gimmick accounts to try to answer multiple times, we will be sending you that shirt I mentioned as your prize.
All right, guys, for another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear, S2H, Skip Hill, we will see you soon.
Out. Are we done?
We are done.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of Compton. Another crazy ass nigga. When punks I smoke, yo, my rep gets bigger. I'm a bad motherfucker and you know this. But the pussy ass niggas won't show this. But I don't give a fuck, I'ma make my snaps. If not from the records, from jacking a crap, it's like burglary. The definition is jacking. But when illegally armed, it's called packing. Shoot a motherfucker in a minute.
Advices Radio.